It's the Playhouse Podcast with Kat and JJ on demand, even if you're on the can.
Dude, come on.
I think a lot of us take for granted having great relationships with our family members. And then this morning we were talking about dysfunctional family episodes, and Jen called in with some really, really disturbing stuff. We'll get to her call in just a second, a little bit later on in the podcast. Here we go, guys.
We've never had terrible neighbors, ones that we've had to call the cops on. We've had weird ones that walk their cat around their property or...
I lived next to, this was my junior year in college, we lived off campus, and I lived next to a Russian family of 396 people they had in a two-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
It was crazy, but the weirdest part was the parrots never shut up. Not parents, parrots. They had at minimum four birds that could talk or make that noise.
Really?
I don't know if they're cockatiels or parrots or whatever they are. But it always smelt like vinegar in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to have at least seven or eight people live in that apartment.
You're not like offending anybody, are you?
Well, I don't know how.
The Russians are
hardcore. Listen, if you're a Russian and you're living with six of your friends in a two-bedroom apartment with a whole bunch of birds, sorry if that offended you. I wasn't being derogatory. But they were horrible neighbors. They were loud all the time.
That's just how they talk.
But no.
They had a Russian guy say some of the most beautiful sentiments, and it sounded like he was ready to brawl.
But this was loud. This was music loud. This was animals loud. This was beating on the walls loud. This was it sounded like you were living in a dormitory, and it wasn't like that. And it lasted for 6 months before we got out.
So every Sunday there's the series Fear Thy Neighbor or Neighborhood Wars, and we'll always watch them. And I'm like, God, to be stuck, especially in a house, like an apartment, you could probably break your lease and get out. But a house, you're like, I got to put it up for sale. I don't want to move my house because of my horrible neighbors. But I don't know if any, come close to this.
Okay, how can I help you?
You guys are screaming so loud, the whole neighborhood, 911. The cops are about to call in.
We is at our house, lady. Don't you dare come to my house. Go on and get off.
I'm a criminal defense attorney.
I know that you ain't not a criminal defense attorney.
Now she's making up fake professional.
Lady sounded hammered to begin with.
So the whole thing was they were laughing and having fun, and then she was just over it.
But listen, I think the first step has always got to be, hey, guys, I'm really trying to get some sleep. Any chance you could pull it down?
Right.
9 times out of 10, that's going to happen.
You don't got to come over hot because it's going to lead nowhere.
Don't threaten me.
Yeah. Letitia's like, I have a neighbor story for you, and I would like to share it. So we would love for her to share that.
Okay, let's get Letitia's story along with yours on next. Horrible neighbors. Most of us have had at least one run-in with horrible neighbors. Is this your only one, Jessica?
I would say the only horrible one that was, like, unbearable to the point where I actually had to move.
Oh, my God. What happened?
So, from the very beginning, when the very first day I moved in, apparently so I'm just starting at the beginning. I parked in their parking spot.
Okay.
So, instead of being a neighbor, they put do not park or will be towed sign in front of their moving truck.
So instead of coming to you and saying, this is our spot, they put up a passive aggressive sign to make sure. That sounds like what someone I'm looking at would do for sure.
I would not. I like confrontation.
You would.
The freakiest part is that I've been going in and out of the apartment that whole time. It was a split level duplex. It's not like as if you can't come outside and tell me, hey, that's my husband's parking spot. He wants that when he gets off of work.
Dang.
Okay, all right. But anyways, it progresses to they were really loud neighbors. They would move furniture at like 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I'm always usually the type of person that doesn't like to file like noise complaints with police or landlords. So I would always go up there and tell them like, hey, can you guys be a little bit more quiet? And they usually were drunk or on some sort of chemical and they usually never listened to me. So it progressed into like getting into quite a few fights with them. And they actually ended up like unplugging my washer and dryer because we had a shared washroom in this duplex where they had their own washer and dryer and I had my own washer and dryer, but it was a shared communal room.
Yeah.
And they actually went behind and unplugged my washer and dryer.
Wow.
And they put like little razor blades in my carpet where I do my laundry.
What?
Like they like weaved them in the carpet.
Okay, so now if you were to say that to a, you sound a little crazy. Like, did you find video camera footage of them doing it? Do you have proof that they physically went down there and put little razor blades in the carpet for you to stand on.
I believe you, by the way.
Well, to be honest, I'm the only other person. I lived alone at the time, so I'm like, I'm not going to do that to myself.
Right.
That's
also,
amazing.
Also, to unplug the washer and dryer, you have to move them.
How long do you put up with something like this before you bounce out?
What?
How long do you put up with this before you bounce out?
I did not. It was the razor blade and the washer and dryer incident that made me ultimately leave, because I had evidence at that point to file with the landlord, like, hey, I want to leave immediately. You're not going to make me pay any early lease break fines right. because of this. And here's my evidence. And they actually did. They let me leave completely with no, like, issues. And
you know what that means? If they let you leave, that means you weren't the first one to complain about these people. That's probably the reason that apartment came up for grabs to begin with.
Well, and the thing is, like, I don't know if this is true or not, but, like, the people before me, like, that were in that apartment, I guess it was a single lady that lived there for years and years and years and never complained.
Hmm.
But I was like, oh, I'm like, okay, but apparently she was also never home because she was a truck driver. So I'm like, Okay. Yeah, she was never there to witness any of this stuff, so.
Weird.
That's a bad one. Thanks for sharing with us. I'm sorry it happened to you, but I appreciate the story.
Yeah.
Have a great morning.
When you said bad neighbors, I was like, I got a
Jessica, I got one for you. Have a great day today.
Yep, thank you.
Letitia's been on hold for the better part of 12 minutes now, so I'm excited to get your story. Tell us what happened here. This is, like, recently, right?
So, I mean, it was a bit trivial, and unfortunately, I had to be the one to have this conversation. But my husband was getting a little annoyed that every year when it was time to mow the lawn, that my neighbor would come over the line.
Okay.
You know, and just extra lines on our property.
So my husband has a thing with that, too. So he did just a couple of extra lines to, did you feel like it was on purpose?
Oh, it was definitely on purpose. He wanted to prove that it was part of his property.
Okay. So you had a conversation with him last year. Obviously, sounds like your husband didn't want to get in on it. But do you feel like he got the memo? Do you feel like this summer is going to be okay? Because lawn mowing season is basically almost here, so.
I feel like I need to have another conversation.
A refresher.
I honestly feel like if I don't have a conversation, then he's going to come over and do additional lines.
Yeah, you don't do anything about this. Next thing you know, your property's his.
She already did something about it. That's the thing. So I would wait for the first lawn mow and then say, oh, I thought we talked about this last year. You know, like maybe you want to refresher.
Or you gather up all the dog poop and you put it on the spot you think he's going to start mowing into your lawn. And then next thing you know, that's a good deterrent.
We had a good weekend. Liam played so hard. It was really fun to watch. They lost every game, but it was like by one. We got tossed out of a game.
He got tossed out
of a
game? Your entire team?
The team did, but
what?
Not.
You guys are those guys now?
It wasn't their fault. I'll tell you that.
But your kid had more.
Not the kid's fault.
Your fault?
No.
Derek's fault?
Nope.
Another parent's fault?
No parent's fault.
Coaches.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was a little wild. I've never seen anything like that.
Basketball's off the chisel.
AAU is nuts. It is so violent. I did not expect that. I heard that it was going to be, but I said, Liam, this is only going to do good things for you, because the normal season, those refs call stuff. So
development league.
It is what it is. But so it was just Liam and myself on Saturday. Derek had to work. So on our way home, I said, let's go to that Asian mall in Eden Prairie. Did you see my robot video?
Uh-oh.
We went to this Asian mall and had dinner.
So you got in. You got in.
That was our waitress.
You weren't even Asian and they let you in.
Yeah. Parking is a nightmare, by the way. So
it's all automated, huh?
Yeah.
How'd that work?
You sit down and you have an iPad on your table and then you order, like, he wanted to try some of the, dumplings with the soup inside. And so we ordered those. We ordered like some pork belly with rice, whatever. And then it just scoots around the corner and she's like, I'm taking a left. She's kind of rude, this robot. And then she said, I'm taking a right. Like she's over it. So I don't know if AI is taking over. And she's like, get out of my way now. But it was really, really cool. They had Korean. They had Japanese, Chinese, all different types of Asian fusions. There was hot pot. There were like Korean corn dogs. Those were pretty cool stores. And then the bottom level was all like groceries. So you could go get Asian products, make your own stuff at home. So that was pretty cool. Went home. We watched a movie. We played some board games. I kicked his butt. And then he never wants to play those games again because he
so now they're all for sale on Facebook Marketplace.
He has bad core memories with them because I really over-celebrate when I beat him. So did that. And then Sunday, more basketball. Went to Applebee's with my parents. Just an all-Americana kind of weekend.
We had some baseball tournament in Painesville that we went to on Saturday. That was a lot of fun. But then every once in a while, you know... In life, when you run through and run into people who don't have to be nice and cordial and go over the top to make your life a little bit better, especially people you don't know.
Yeah.
And then you run into someone who just does because it's a good human thing. Like, your faith in humanity completely restored. So the people we're buying our new house from are realtors. And we met with them yesterday, and they wanted to go through all the stuff at the house.
Good.
So that for us, they wanted us to say, hey, we got this and this and this and this and this. And they're just the nicest people in the world, went above and beyond to give us everything we need. And they're even going to let us like kind of start scooting some stuff in a little bit early so that we don't have to move completely out of one property and completely into the next on one day. So just to meet good, nice people it just refreshes you. You know what I mean? All of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, there are some really, really good people that aren't just angling for money in this world.
As realtors, they've probably seen a lot of people sell some lemons in their day, yeah, and they know they don't want to live with that on their conscience. So to walk you through their property and just make sure everything is transparent, I think is good.
And then I blew out a tire on the interstate yesterday on the way there. Mm. Literally going down the interstate. And then I hear, boom. And I thought maybe I'd hit a chunk of cardboard because it was raining really hard and you couldn't see everything.
Yeah.
And something in me said that was more than a piece of cardboard. And
it happened during the rain.
Yeah. So I hit the little lever to toggle over on the computer and looked at all four tires, and one started leaking right away. And I was like, oh, damn it. So I get off to the side of the road, and then we have roadside assistance. And so as it's looking, so Trisha's over there on her phone trying to get roadside assistance. It had to dispatch somebody all the way from Alexandria, and really? It was right by St. Joe.
Yeah.
And so that took 75 minutes for our son picked us up, and I never even saw the guy. He just goes, oh, yeah, just leave the keys in the cup holder, and I'll fix your tire, and then I'll put them back in there.
Okay.
And we got a text. Yep, guy's done.
Nice.
Boom, we're good to go. But that is just a helpless, and it was like, my son is trying to bust on me. He's like, wait, you can't change a tire?
Yeah, why didn't you just do it yourself?
Well, okay, there's two reasons. Number one, pouring rain. Number two, it's on the freeway.
I did it in the worst snowstorm ever on Highway 10. Cars everywhere, by myself, outside, lug nuts falling everywhere.
I just wasn't going to do it. We had roadside assistance. I'm like, if somebody else wants to put their life on the line while these semis are going by at 80 miles an hour on the freeway in the rain, knock yourself out. I'm going to get a ride to Shady.
What's trending? What's trending?
Maybe they should bring something like this back. Maybe it would be less money than to sit there and pay for a therapist. Sometimes you just need someone to listen. But back in the day, in the 80s, there was an ad for a hotline that you would call just to cry.
What makes people all over America break down and cry like this? Call 1-900-9099-CRY and hear it for yourself. $2 for the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute. If you're under 18, ask your parents before you call. 1-900-9099-CRY.
Jeez, what if it's your parents that are making you cry? Then you gotta ask them.
You gotta pay them too.
Can I pay $2 a minute to cry to somebody else? They'll say, we'll give you another reason to cry. I think I could do that job just to answer and just say, tell me what you're going through, you know? If you ever want to do that.
Jesus, I don't think I could handle something like that.
We don't charge. We're free service.
I feel like
service.
I do enough of that here.
Wambulance is on its way. Oh, my God. With my no heart, I would say something like that, and it would be, like, detrimental. So maybe it wouldn't be a job for me. But just wanted to let you know, maybe if we ask the right people, we could bring back a hotline like that.
Yeah. Anybody have a heart out there?
That is what's trending. Every family has a level of dysfunction. It is for you to call right now to share with us what has happened in your family. I'm going to read Keely's text that came in over that break. This is outrageous, but I wanted to talk about it because Bethany Frankel, she has been very open and honest since the beginning of being on Real Housewives of New York that her family was extremely dysfunctional. She basically raised herself at the racetracks in New Jersey.
Jeez.
Her dad was a massive gambler, would win a bunch of money. He would train horses. He would gamble everything away, beat her mom. Her mom took it. Her mom disowned her for a while, would choose boyfriends over her. I mean, a lot of growing up she had to do.
Yikes.
At a very young age. And she's been open with it. And I think it helps other people. And so if you want to call and share yours, I think it could help other people. Keely had texted, my husband's family is so dysfunctional. His dad left after 22 years of marriage to get with my husband's sister's best friend. My mother-in-law didn't leave her room for almost a decade after my husband turned 7. They don't believe in giving gifts for things, but they sure do accept gifts. So Keely, it sounds like he came with a lot of baggage, but yeah. you don't always bring that with you to a relationship. Sometimes you're like, that is not how I want to do life. So I can gladly say that I don't have anything that affected me as far as dysfunction. We just had a quirky family, you know.
That whole being naked for a long time in your family until you were
almost a teenager. Oh my God, naked families are the best. I'm naked all the time.
Jen, tell everybody what we should know about your family here.
So my dad is an undiagnosed narcissist, and when we were kids, he actually gave my brother a black eye.
Wow.
And left a handprint across my face because I was sticking up for my sister.
Jesus.
Well, the hard part about that is when you bring it up, he either doesn't remember it or he says, oh, it wasn't that bad. My dad used to hit us too.
Right. So that's his justification, that's how he was raised. He'll just do the same.
Right. And then now that I've tried to bring it up and kind of like made him accountable for it, he hasn't talked to me in 2 years. His grandson is 2 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And my son's birthday party was on Saturday. I invited him, and this is the second year in a row that he did not show up.
No text, no call, just a straight no show.
Just straight up won't even talk to me. Like, I've texted him, I've called him, he'll ignore my phone calls, he won't answer me. I now send messages to his new wife.
Yeah.
And him in group messages so that I can prove that I'm trying.
But
so
why
that
do
she
you
doesn't look at me and be like, well, why aren't you trying?
Why do you have to try? You were the person that was hurt.
You're the
like,
kid.
I feel like you've already.
Thank you, Kat.
But stop.
Thank
it.
Thank you. Like, somebody who gets it.
Yeah, you're all done with that now. Like, move on with life. If somebody doesn't want to be in your life,
exactly,
they're lost. And
that's what I said, too.
Yeah.
And then when my son's 12, like what happened with me, I didn't meet my grandfather, my dad's dad, until I was 12.
Yeah.
And I asked him who he was, and he's like, oh, I'm your grandpa. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I don't know you. What's your name? So, Dale. Okay, well, then you're Dale.
Yeah.
My dad's dad.
Yeah.
And that is what I'm going to do with my son as well. Like, you don't have to call somebody something if that's not how you feel about them.
You know, when people give the excuse that, oh, they're family, oh, they're blood, I get that a little bit. But what I really don't get is if they're not doing something positive for your life, then it's time to find and fill your life with other people that are positive. You know what I mean? Like, it's way too short of a journey. And to continue chasing somebody's love and affection, or at least their acknowledgement, if they don't, you know, want to reciprocate, then it's time to move on, whether they're family or not, I think.
Yeah. And if he chooses to, then you can reevaluate.
Right.
Then you can say, well, you know, it's been 5 years after I've been trying to contact you and you still haven't.
And then what you do up front to see if he's really serious about wanting to be in your life is you get back all 5 years of birthday and Christmas presents up front. And if he doesn't come pre-prepared with that, then clearly he's not making an attempt.
Or maybe big sorry and like a sense of responsibility for what got you position.
What's going to come around is this guy's going to show up one day at your doorstep, Jen, and want a kidney. And you're going to be like, wait, where were you for a long time? I need some birthday presents. And you got to go to your grandson.
So, exactly.
I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but that's what came to my mind first.
It's not even me that I'm worried about anymore. It's more my son.
Yeah.
And like, okay, so my mental health is important to me, and I understand that. But that's also how I want to raise my son, to understand that, hey, just because they're family doesn't mean that they're good for you.
Yeah.
Good call on that. And remember that whole thing, like, well, my parents hit me or whatever. Like, you're doing a great job of stopping that, you know, motion. You know what I mean? A lot of people can use that as an excuse.
Right.
But a lot of people were hit by their parents and didn't hit their kids. So I don't know if I'm buying that. Thunder from Down Under tickets right at 6 a.m. Tuesday morning as we start the live show. And then as we progress, there will be at least 4 chances for you to win over $1,000 Tuesday morning from 6 to 10 on KCLD. Right now, let's put a wrap on the podcast.
All right. So Jerry Seinfeld, he's turning 70, by the way. That's he's still with it.
That's crazy.
He's still got it. Very funny. But he's talking about what comes with that age.
You know what it is? It's boy, I could really live with a lot less stuff, things, people, activities. I'm not doing nothing anymore.
That's how you feel?
Yeah, I feel like this is we're gonna essentialize now.
Mm. I like that. I like that idea, and I think that I'm well before that. That's the kind of life that I would crave right now, trying to accomplish that. But what changed at every age? Do you remember, like, turning a certain age, and then there was something that happened, and you're like, okay, this is what's going on at this age?
I remember distinctly when we had our first child, thinking that I didn't need to defend my word or actions anymore. Like,
wow.
Every once in a while you'd get like, you'd be in a bar and, you know, somebody like, that's what guys do, right? They're like,
oh, in that way.
Right. Okay. You know what I mean? I felt like getting in any kind of physical altercation with any other human being sounds absolutely ridiculous anymore. When I hit 30, I realized that 2, maybe 3 day hangovers were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I hit 40, I realized that without extra supplementation, I was going to shrink like a balloon that had been slowly let the air out of it if I didn't keep lifting hard. And now as I'm approaching 50, I'm realizing as I have friends that are in their early 50s, maybe even into their early 60s and all the way back into their 40s, if you don't do something hard every day, your body will quit on you.
Yeah.
Like, I think it is so unfortunate that we tell all the old people in our life, no, don't go outside. No, just sit down, and take it easy.
Yeah.
That is the single biggest way to watch your body deteriorate is if you don't move it and don't do something hard every day. I find it very difficult to believe that while I still can, I won't want to lift heavy things for a long time because mm-hmm. I think it's the single greatest fountain of youth you can have. And I'm aiming for that right now.
Good advice. You very rarely have that. 18, I felt life like it wasn't, you got, why don't you take a gap year? You know, like we'll help you out. A lot of kids have that option.
Oof.
And I didn't, like, my parents expected a lot from me, which I appreciate. And they just said, you have to do something. Like, what's your next step? And I remember being in high school, not thinking that way. And then 18, I remember that moment going to sign my life away for that dumb radio school. And then I was like, okay, this is it. And then I had to get 3 jobs and an internship, and I just hustled and I enjoyed that. And then now 30s, I feel like I'm really finding myself, like early 30s, still kind of cared about what people thought. And I still do have a level of caring what people think. I want to be the best in their eyes, but I don't try as hard. And then I'm also looking at the end game being a little bit earlier than it could be, like as far as getting into the house that I want forever, that will make me happy, the mornings that I want that make me happy. So I don't know. I'm kind of feeling Seinfeld-y with what he said about simplifying everything. So
I think that happens just because, you want to build up as much as possible. Plus, it's a social status thing that you care about for a long time. You want people that are your age to look at you and go, wow, look at how well they're doing. And then eventually
and
that just
big house
doesn't even matter anymore.
You're like, hell no. So many bathrooms to clean? That's crazy.
That's
I just want one bathroom to wipe.
Bingo. How fun.
Last week, someone lost an eye at bingo.
Bingo.
Bingo, what bingo?
Bingo.
Bingo.
All right, here's how listener bingo works. Kat and I are each going to tell you what we're looking for. And if you're the first person to call with either of them, you'll help us get the bingo and we get a really cool story out of you. So maybe you're somebody listening who
has had their life saved by something. Something happened and you're like, wow, that could have killed me. But this hot dog saved this guy's life in Omaha, Nebraska. There were so many tornadoes over the weekend, whether it was in Iowa or Nebraska.
You know, I was at the gas station getting hot dogs. And it saved my life. So hot dog saved my life. You know, count your blessings. Be glad there's no fatalities in the neighborhood, I heard. And family's safe. Stuff can be replaced, but family's everything.
So his house got completely demolished?
He had a hankering for a hot dog. Left his house. The tornado picked his house up.
Jeez.
And placed it down somewhere else in pieces. So, yeah, essentially saved his life.
Makes it hard to not believe in divine intervention
right.
At that point. I'm looking for anyone listening who has already cried this week.
Aww.
Like, I just want to know why you cried. Like, I was reading this morning that there's a large percentage of Americans that will cry before Monday is over.
Really?
Every week they reset, and it's either because of your life choices, your family. Most people cry because of their job.
What do you think it is with me? My sensitivity chip is missing? Is it?
Well, maybe you just don't have that bad of a life. And yeah. Maybe the things that you're choosing to change in your life make it not bad tomorrow because you hope for a better life.
When I do cry, it's because, you know, like my whole life, I like to just push stuff down and suppress it, you know, and just never talk
and
about it.
And a drunken
it.
Rage comes
and
out.
Then,
yeah.
Feels so good.
I like that so much better, too. Mm-hmm. How's Kelly doing today?
I'm good. Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Who's going to get the bingo here, Kat or myself?
I cried already.
Oh, no. I don't want to applaud the fact that you've cried already, but why'd you cry already this week?
Well, it's actually a good cry. I'm on my way, actually, as we speak, to my attorney's office. I was injured in a life-altering accident 7 years ago, and I'm on my way to go pick up my lawsuit settlement check.
Oh, why has it been such a long journey? Like, did someone not want to take accountability for it, or insurance just drag their feet, or what?
A little bit of all of the above. I was a passenger, so I wasn't driving at all. I literally was just in a car, and road rage, and he slammed into the driver of the car that was driving the car I was in, and we hit a retaining wall and a dead stop on my side. And over the last 7 years, I've had extensive spinal surgery. A year ago, I couldn't even dress myself.
Wow.
And now I'm doing great. I'm thinner than I've been in 15 years. I feel healthier than I felt in 15 years.
And now you're going to have some change in your pocket.
Right.
Yes.
So it's about me.
What will the settlement allow you to be able to do moving forward? Live a little more comfortably, pay off medical bills. You know, what's that going to change for you?
I had over $120,000 in medical bills. Yeah. Those are all taken care of. I'm permanently disabled. However, it'll allow me to either relocate, which is something I have been wanting to do. I went back to school and I have a different career option. So it'll allow me to relocate and start my life over, me and my son. So
this is a strong story. I'm happy. I'm obviously, you know, sad that this happened to you, but it sounds like you're really finding a way to make the best out of this horrible situation. So I'm glad you could join us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Take care, Kelly. We appreciate you.